Attorney General Mark Brnovich has joined 11 other state attorneys general in a bid to dissolve the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, program created under President Obama. DACA was implemented via executive order, which Brnovich believes was an illegal move by the previous administration, and President Trump has so far been blocked from ending the program through an executive order of his own. But if an executive order was enough to begin the program, the attorney general argues it's enough to end it. Not surprisingly, that decision to join this fight has drawn some criticism. State Representative Cesar Chavez says he hopes even his Republican colleagues will reject the move and the message he says it sends to DACA recipients.
So this message to DACA recipients pretty much says you are not welcome. Well, I want them to know that they are welcome here, that because of one individual, we cannot say that we've lost any type of battle. If anything, this should just empower other elected officials.
And Chavez argued DACA has played an important role in the state's economy, allowing recipients to become skilled professionals and providers for both their families and their communities.
We should be doing more in filling those jobs by helping out individuals such as those that have DACA, getting them into these jobs so that they can continue to build onto this nation.
DACA has been a controversial topic since its inception, and now the matter could soon be settled. Attorney General Brnovich joins us now to tell us more from his perspective. Mark, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
First of all, for radio listeners, fantastic beard. Good to see that.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes.
So let's talk about how much of this for you is executive order, an issue with that, the fact you think that with President Obama, the same thing should apply to President Trump, because for a lot of people, that's not necessarily the issue at hand. But for you, from a legal standpoint, is it?
Yeah, that's exactly it, Steve. Thank you for clarifying or kind of describing it that way, because really, it's, I guess, there's an old saying, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And it really comes down to as simple as if President Obama can create the program via executive order or executive action, then why can't a future president rescind it or change it via executive action? In fact, you may recall when I was actually running, when I first ran for AG in 2014, I used to talk about this all the time, the fact that what President Obama did was constitutionally suspect, and it was not fair, actually, to DACA recipients because he himself said it was temporary, as a stopgap measure. It was only supposed to be, 2 years at a time. So it created uncertainty. And if you believe in the rule of law, what the law requires is consistency and certainty. And so I think what's happened is that as a result of this being a temporary program, as President Obama described it, he's created uncertainty. And just as many people predicted, a future president could come along and change it or rescind it. And so regardless of what you think about the merits of it, I do think there's a constitutional argument that if President Obama can create it via executive order, then why can't a future president eliminate or change it via executive order?
So what do you think should or would happen to those recipients? I mean, if the Supreme Court says, okay, this is not constitutional, you talk about uncertainty. That seems like it would add a lot more uncertainty for a lot of people.
Well, we know that when there was recent litigation in Texas regarding this issue, one of the things the judge did there in the district court was he did not overturn DACA because he said people have come to rely on it, and we've heard about people talking about wind-down periods with the years. Bottom line, Mark, is I think everyone listening, everyone knows this, is this is Congress's job. And I think what's happened is that because of all this uncertainty, because of the executive order, you got both sides now on the right and on the left, both using these folks as political footballs. And it's really not fair to them. It's not fair to anyone. And what it's done, though, by doing that is it's allowed Congress to shirk its duties and responsibilities. So whether you're pro-immigration reform or anti-immigration reform, whether you want more border security or less border security, whatever your position is, the bottom line is Congress isn't debating these issues. They aren't discussing them. And why is that? Because they don't have to. They can all hide or they can all talk about this executive order, and then we're all in courts. You got lawyers from both sides, AGs, from Democratic states, Republican states, fighting this out. And meanwhile, Congress gets to do nothing. And that, Mark, is the problem and the tragedy. That's where the energy should be directed. This isn't about one person or one group of people. This really is about the rule of law and the notion that why the hell hasn't Congress done anything? Why aren't we, as like I said, regardless of what you think about this issue, why aren't we demanding that our senators and Congress people do something? And that's really where the fix lies. I mean, that's what the Constitution requires.
But Mark, are you able to play both sides in this issue to some extent? As Attorney General, you can have the legal standpoint, and then you can take on Congress and say Congress should be doing this, which most people agree with. But from that standpoint, are you sort of removing yourself from the equation? Because sort of follow up on the fact there would be more uncertainty, and maybe from a legal standpoint you're right on, but then it does leave that huge gap. And do you think this will actually force Congress to do something? Is that part of the motivation?
Ultimately, I think that's what's got to happen, Steve, because if you want to create a permanent solution, if you want to create that certainty, that can only be done via Congress. President Trump can't do it unilaterally. You know, Congress is the where legislation goes, and that's who provides the funding. And so that's really the vehicle. I do think at the end of the day, I have been really consistent since I've been AG. I mean, you may remember I went into court and I defended our state's minimum wage law, which we won at our state Supreme Court 7-0. And I know there's a lot of people saying, oh, Brnovich is defending the state's minimum wage. And I said, of course I will defend it because that's what the law is. That's what the people voted on. And so I have been very consistent, I think, when it comes to what does the law say, enforcing the law, and then saying, if you don't like the law, go change the policy, go change the policymakers, go change the legislature, run an initiative, have the legislature do a referendum. I mean, those are the proper vehicles.
I think about what you said about, you know, Congress should be doing this, and if, and maybe they haven't been doing it because they don't have to because of this executive order program. But you think back a few years to the sequester program, for example, when Congress said, okay, we're going to try to come up with a budget deal, and if we don't, we're going to set up these cuts that are so horrible that no legislator would want them to go into effect. It will make them come to the table and deal. And it didn't happen. So do you have any measure of optimism that even if DACA goes away, Congress would be able to come up with something for this population?
I think this is such an important issue for so many people that, yes, Congress would, you know, finally get around to doing their job. That being said, I guess you could say I'm a subjective optimist but an objective pessimist because I think you're right. If you look at the history, especially in the last decade, Congress is where good ideas go to die. I mean, I've said that before, but it's the God's honest truth. Before I got elected, it was the first time I was ever elected to anything. I was always like, oh, I'm against term limits and the people, you know, can vote for whoever they want to vote for. And I will tell you, since I've been around politics, I have become a firm believer in term limits. I think there are people that get into politics because, they can't do anything else and they just want the power. And when you want the power, that means what you do is you do everything you can to stay in power. And so unfortunately, I think there are a lot of people in Washington, D.C. like that. So I think you need not only term limits on the members of Congress in the Senate, but you also need term limits on the staffs. And that's part of it, too, that a lot of this is driven by the staffs. And then, as I said, this issue, going back to what we were talking about with DACA, is that there's a lot of people raising a lot of money and getting a lot of power and money and influence on this issue on both sides. And that's why it's problematic. And that's why someone has to be an adult. And I hope that we have gotten to the point. And we've got border state senator here. We got, Senator Sinema, Senator McSally, and I would hope that they would be the kind of people that would step up into this and say, okay, here we go. I'm gonna work on a compromise. I'm going to work on a deal that'll provide border security and at the same time create some certainty for people trying to come into this country and just better themselves and their families.
Very quickly, this needs to be very short. Take off your attorney general hat, put on your tie-dye shirt for a second, okay?
Yeah.
Do you favor DACA or no?
Look, I'm a first-generation American, and I think that anyone that wants to come to this country and be productive and work here, this is the land of opportunity. And the day that we stop having people wanting to come into this country is the day we stop being America. Immigration is a net benefit, but we've got to do it in a way that's orderly and legal.
Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich, good to see you. Thanks.
Thank you.